Blog Talk Radio.
A show that is designed to give you a bird's eye view of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub from his perspectives and how you should interact with him and how not. and also with one another and strangers, meaning different nations. But before we get started, I simply want to say something. You know, my fiance, they passed away in 2011. It reminded me just before I came home. He used to say something that always struck me as strange, but now I have some idea of what she meant by it. It's a poor wind that don't never change. A poor wind that does never change this direction. It's a poor wind. And certainly in the case of some of us, I would say that is true. A poor wind doesn't never change its direction. It blows in one way, never changes course of action. And certainly in some of our cases, because of lack of studies, we have become that poor wind. It's true. But you know, I like to make comments on contemporary ongoing subject matters. I've seen some of the damage done by the bombing in Gaza. Yes. Very devastating, the bombing in Gaza. And I saw a 10-year-old Palestinian girl. She said, what can I do? I can't do it. I'm just 10 years old. I wish I could do something. I can sort of empathize with her situation. Being a captive in this land, being a captive, I can empathize with her. What can I do? Ain't nothing I can do. And certainly, I can't do much in this captive land other than apply myself to my studies and make my application and my appeal to my creator. Because by the looks of it, their judicial system is not going to do very much for me. And neither are their police officers, racist soldiers in police uniform. Brother Ronald Green in Louisiana found that out. Although he pleaded with them, although he said, I am your brother, it meant no never mind to them. They brutalized him. They put their knee on him. They put their feet on him. They dragged him like a Hebrew slave, which he was. And there's not very much that the police officers was going to do. When they get you behind the scenes and a bunch of them together, Cottrell said it. You know, he did martial arts back in the day. And when he practiced with some of them, they became very brutal, very harsh in their treatment of him. And you can see it on full display, the few seconds they gave you, how brutal they was to a brother Ronald Green. And it suggests something to you. Don't get caught behind enemy lines with them. And even with the cameras on, they seem to forget I got a camera on, man. I'm going to get caught. They don't care. They get caught up in the moment when it comes to you and me. They'll get caught up in it. Believe me, the evidence doesn't lie. And I had something else to say, but it sort of skirted my mind for the moment. And the Most High have taught us, let your words be few. So therefore, I'm going to let my words be few in that subject matter and bring my brother and friend on from New York City. Cottrell, may the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
All praise to the Holy One of Israel, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Shalom, family. May the Most High bless you. Yom Tov. May the Most High bless you and your family. Shalom.
Thank you, my brother, friend. Shalom. And may the Most High bless you and your family, brother.
I appreciate that. Thank you. But I see a commentary, man. They showed that video, but prior to showing that video, they told the family that he had crashed into a tree. That's how he died.
Yeah. If the tree had 2 feet, it did.
So now that the video cams are out, let's see if they do justice. Because like you said, they beat him. They pistol with him, dragged him, tased him, did everything to him, man. And the brother died. And he was pleading just like George Floyd.
Right.
You know? I'm not doing anything to resist. I'm your brother, officer. Please don't do this. And they had no regard for the brother.
None whatsoever.
And just like the brother Brown, they trying to say he used his car as a lethal weapon. From the little bit of video I seen, nah. He was trying to get away. He wasn't trying to hurt nobody. And they shot that brother right in the head. And they're going to get away with it. because the magistrates or the people in charge say the police were doing their job. But you never hear them doing that to any other people but us.
What'd you say?
Justified in doing it, yeah.
What'd you say? It's quite true, Godfrey.
But they're not going to continue to get away with it for too long because it's the type of thing that causes the Most High anger to be stirred.
Exactly. The brutality and mistreatment and injustice of Israel. The going over and above the brutality and the inhumanity is sickening. I suspect to the Most High is becoming very sickening to him also. All right, Katria, if you're done with your commentaries, I certainly am. And we're going to jump right into our studies. Okay? All right. May the Most High bless us by the study of his word, and most importantly, the application of said studies once we got to the bottom of the matter. In chapter 6 of 1 Kings, in the 480th year, they had been there 480 years after the Israelites left the land of Mizraim, the month of Zif. This is the second month in the fourth year of his reign over Israel. King Solomon began to build the house of Yah. The house with King Solomon built the house of Yah was 60 cubits long and 20 cubits wide and 30 cubits high. The portico and front of the great hall of the house was 20 cubits long, and along the width of the house, 10 cubits deep to the front of the house. He made windows for the house, recessed and lattice against the outside wall of the house. The outside wall of the house enclosed the great hall and the shrine. The beer is a storage structure. He made side chambers all around. The lower story was 5 cubits wide. The middle, 6 cubits wide. The third, 7 cubits wide. For he had provided recesses around the outside of the house so as not to penetrate the walls of the house. When the house was built, only furnace stones cut at the quarry were used so that no hammer or axe or any iron tool was heard in the house while it was being built. It was prefabbed. The entrance to the middle story of the side chamber was on the right side of the house, and winding stones led up to the middle chambers, from the middle chamber to the third story. When he finished building the house, he paneled the house with beams and planks of cedar. He built the storage structure against the entire house, each story 5 cubits high, so that it encased the house with timbers of cedar. When the word of the Elohim came to King Solomon with regards to this house you are building, you follow my laws and observe my rules and faithfully keep my commandments, I will fulfill for you the promise I gave to your father, King David. I will abide among the children of Israel. I would never forsake my people of Israel. That's based upon their response to him. That's based upon their response to his codification. That's based upon their response to his instructions. That's based upon their response to the contract. Ain't nothing free. King Solomon completed the construction of the house. He paneled the walls of the house on the inside with planks of cedar. He overlaid the walls of the house with wood from the floor of the house to the ceiling. He overlaid the floor of the house with planks of cypress, 20 cubits from the rear of the house. He built a partition of planks from the floor to the wall. He furnished its interior to serve as a shrine, as a holy of holies. Front part of the house, that is the great hall, measured 40 cubits. The cedar of the interior of the house had carvings of gourds and calyx. It was all cedar. No stone was exposed. In the innermost part of the house, he fixed the shrine in which to place the Ark of the Covenant. The interior of the shrine was 20 cubits long, 20 cubits wide, and 20 cubits high. He overlaid it with solid gold. He similarly overlaid its cedar altar. King Solomon overlaid the interior of the house with solid gold, and he inserted gold chains until the door of the shrine. He overlaid the shrine with gold so that the entire house was overlaid with gold. He even overlaid the gold, the entire altar of the shrine, so the entire house was completed. In the shrine, he made two cherubims of olive wood, each 10 cubits high. One had a wing measuring 5 cubits and another wing measuring 5 cubits, so that the spread from wing tip to wing tip was 10 cubits. And the wing tip of the other cherubim was also 10 cubits. The two cherubims had the same measurements and proportions. The height of the cherubims was 10 cubits, so that of the other cubit. He placed the cherubim inside the inner chamber. Since the wings of the cherubims were extended, a wing of one touched one wall, and the cherubim of the other touched the other wall, while their wings in the center of the chambers touched each other. He overlaid the cherubims with gold. All the wall of the house, of both the inner area and the outer area, he carved relies of cherubims, palms, and calyx. He overlaid the floor of the house with gold, both the inner and the outer areas. For the entrance of the shrine, he made the doors of olive wood, the pilasters, and the doorposts having 5 sides. The double doors were of olive wood, and on them to be carved relies, cherubims, palms, and calyx. He overlaid them with gold, hammering the gold into the cherubims and the palms. For the entrance of the great hall, two, he made doorposts of oleaster wood, having 4 sides, and the double doors of cypress wood, each door consisting of 2 plank, rounded planks. On them he carved cherubims, palms, and calyx, overlaying them with gold, applied evenly over the carvings. He built the inner enclosure of 3 courses of hewn stones and 1 course of cedar beams. I would recommend, fellow students, that you go to YouTube or whatnot and type in the house that King Solomon built for Yah, and it'll give you some description to what it looked like. A beautiful, beautiful building, a beautiful compound. So you can have some idea what it looks like. Okay? Cartrell, my brother and friend, what say you? Cartrell, did you take a break, or did you put your phone on mute?
It's on mute because the buzz boys is passing. But
okay, all right. Cartrell, we'll see you on your commentaries.
It's a lot of gold going on here, on the floor, on the walls, on the statues that they had carved out. It shows you how rich a nation that we were, because that's a lot of gold going on in there.
Well, you know, Cartrell, you and I talked earlier, and we didn't even talk about this chapter. You see how synchronized the Most High is, and we were talking about that earlier in a private conversation, that we were pretty wealthy. a wealthy nation. And the evidence doesn't lie, Katria. You're certainly right about that.
But it shows the craftsmanship. Cedar panels. You know what it takes to put a panel on the wall to cover the stone?
Exactly.
They had tremendous skill back then.
They had skills. They had skill. And then to carve the release of the cherubims and the palm trees and the calyphex and so this wooden hammer that go over that so it can look exposed like it was just made into the gold and itself. That took a lot of skills, Cottrell. Mad skills.
And the people that use the skills to build that temple, they said that that's the foundation of Freemasonry. That's where the Masons get their order from, the builders of King Solomon's temple. Because like
right.
I said, it was prefab. They had cut the stones in a quarry away from the site so that they wouldn't make any noise.
Right.
So they used those techniques to build this place. It must have looked tremendous after it was finished. But the places that we're reading about, the interior, that was overlaid with gold and all this and the cherubims, the people never really saw that. Because
right.
the people never really went into those chambers. The people were always in the outer courts.
Right.
So you never really got to go into the temple itself.
Right.
The people
exactly.
came and were in the outer courts. So.
Right. Only the high priest and the Levite, Levitical priest, had an
right.
opportunity to see. And only the high priest, the innermost holies, had an opportunity to see the inside detail work of that. And the Levitical priests that were associated with that work inside the outer chambers. The outer
an amazing
chambers. Right.
Piece of architecture. Like you said, you got to Google it and look at it.
Right.
Because they reenacted, they recreated, they duplicated in pictures, and it is pretty spectacular.
It was beautiful, awesome place. An awesome house that King Solomon built for Yah. A beautiful place. And he didn't shortchange. Right. Okay, go ahead, Katria.
That King Solomon, like his father, King David, had personal communications with the Most High. So the Most High talks to King Solomon directly.
Exactly.
He doesn't necessarily need a prophet in order to bring Yah's message. King Solomon and the Most High is connected because he's talking directly to him.
Well, one thing, Cottrell, you and I had this discussion early. The initial king outside of King Saul, the first two kings were somewhat pretty close to Yah. And so he had that connection with them because he, in spite of their mistakes and whatnot, they were still pretty close to him. So he had a certain interaction, which he would like to have had with all the kings, but they were not as close as King Saul and King David with Yah. Based upon their relationship with him. They had a much more constructive and positive relationship with him because most often they did what he told them to do, unlike King Saul and unlike the rest of the kings afterwards. Some of them did and most of them didn't. And so because of that, and he said it in the mandate when he spoke to King Saul, as you pointed out, Cottrell, my brother, as you pointed out, he said, as long as you follow the codification and instructions, man, you're going to be skin tight. Me and you and the people are going to be skin tight. But the moment y'all turn away from me, it's going to be trouble. It's going to be hell up in Harlem. And universally speaking, and that's true today as we speak, Cottrell.
Yeah, and he specifically told King Solomon that if you mess up, the people are going to suffer.
Yeah. Because most often, Cottrell, I'm sorry for interrupting you, most often we follow our leaders. And he knows this. You follow the leaders, which you should if they're doing right. But when they're doing wrong, you shouldn't. And that's what the Most High knows the thinking of people. You're going to follow your leaders, just like in this country. They follow these people, you know. It shouldn't come as no surprise. Go ahead, Cottrell.
So the word of the Most High came to King Solomon saying, concerning this house you are building, if you will walk in my statutes and execute my judgment and keep all my commandments to walk in them, that I will perform my word unto thee, which I spoke unto your father, King David. And I will dwell among the children of Israel and will not forsake my people, Israel. So once the king went astray, the Most High left.
Right. Well, like I said, Carter, ain't nothing in life free. And somehow we have a weird twist of understanding. Some of us think it's for free. Ain't nothing like free. And even today as I speak, country, some of our brothers and sisters think, I'm a Hebrew Israelite. That's all I need to do. That's all I need to say. I ain't got to do no more. You got a weird sense of thinking. And I'm going to tell you why you got a weird sense of thinking. Because you don't study. Because if you studied these words intensely as we do, you would have an innate understanding that it takes more than saying what you are. You have to do what you are. Go ahead, Katria.
So I'd like to reiterate the fact that Yah chose us as his nation to be his servant, to be his son, to serve him. And to serve Yah here on earth is almost equivalent to being an angel, because the angels minister to Yah, to the Most High in the heavens. The angels are Yah's ministers. He chose us to minister to him right here on earth. So he is our master and we are his servants. And there's no freedom if you got a master. You got a master, you better pay attention to what the master is saying. And the Most High is telling us that I'm your master, I'm your king, I'm your creator, I am your God. And you belong to me because I rescued you when you cried and asked me to come rescue you out of Egypt. So we made a pact that's everlasting, that you broke, but I didn't break with your fathers, and we're going to start this all over again because y'all messed up.
Right.
So if y'all get it right this time, you're going to be under the new covenant that I'm going to make with you. But this condition, these are the things that you got to do in order for me to make this contract, this new covenant with you all. While you're in captivity, you have instructions that you have to follow.
Exactly.
So we try to learn what the instructions are. Humble ourselves, return to Yah with all our hearts, soul, and might, confess our sins, the sins of our fathers, and really pour out our hearts to the Most High and gather with each other, help each other as much as we can.
Well, Katria, they don't seem to understand. The Most High said, you draw near to me and I will draw near to you. I'm not talking in the physical component. How would one draw near to Yah? By virtue of his word. And by virtue of studying his word and applying his word, that's how you draw near to Yah, okay? And you say, well, I'm near to Yah. Why are you near? I'm a Hebrew Israelite. That makes me close to him. No, it does not make you close to Yah simply to say that you're a Hebrew Israelite, okay? What makes you close to Yah, that you study his word and apply his word in your life, okay? It is conditional, as Cartrell just alluded to, okay? So stop lying to yourselves and to each other, simply saying just to name yourself as such, but you have nothing else to show forth. Come on now, stop lying to yourself. Go ahead, Contrail.
Well, actually, pretty much hit the nail on the head, because we have conditions. And if you ain't following those conditions, there's consequences. So the Most High's given us time to study his word. It's an open book test. And he's looking to see who's sincere about getting this thing right. And some people are in it for show. Some people are in it for vanity. Some people, I just don't know. But if you're really seeking and searching, begin to unravel the truth of why the world is in the situation that it's in, why we in the situation we're in, and the Most High gives us the antidote and a way and means to extricate ourselves from the condition that we're under. So the biggest challenge to us as a people is the command to humble ourselves, because with humility, you're open to receive the truth. If you're full of pride, arrogancy, and all of that, you know it already. Wisdom can't penetrate you. And some people are stuck in their pride and self-righteousness, so they can't really see the whole picture.
Well, Cadrea, you and I know by our studies, pride comes before a fall. All right.
Exactly.
Well, Katria, if you're done with your studies and your commentary,
sir.
I certainly am. And we'll move right along because these are rather some lengthy chapters. But we're going to go on through them. So after he built Yah's house, he builds himself a house for him and his brides. And it was called the Lebanon Forest House. It must have been a lovely structure. And I advise you, as I did with Yah's house, that you go there also and look at the look up the Lebanon Forest House, a very beautiful place. In the fourth year of the month of Ziv, the foundation of the house was laid. In the 11th year of the 11th month of Bol, that is, the 8th month, the house was completed according to all its details, just like a blueprint, and all its specification. Everything must have details in life and specification. Let me repeat that. Everything in life must have details and specification. And certainly, the word of Yah has details and specification in order to be correct. You know, let me say this. It's just like, what if Cartrell, both and I were electricians, and I'm in Memphis. I have these details and specifications that I must put to use. So Cartrell is doing the same thing in New York City. He's got these details and specifications. If Cartrell veered off the details and specifications and Yom Suf is going by the details and specifications, something going to be amiss. And if Yom Suf is going off of those details and specifications and Cartrell is going by those details and specifications, something going to come up amiss. And so if Yom Suf came up to New York City and then with the work on what Cartrell was working on, and Cartrell was correct in his specification and details, Yom Suf going to get electrocuted. And if Cartrell came down to Memphis, Tennessee, and started working on something that had details and specification, and they were incorrect, that Yom Suf had put up, well, Cartrell's going to get electrocuted. And I'm saying that to say this, the word of Yah is the same thing. And that's why some of us end up getting electrocuted, because we're not going by the details and specifications. We're leaning to our own understanding. And that's why things don't come out right. Okay? Let me say that again. Some of us are leaning to our own understanding, and they're putting up details and specifications that is not meant to be used or using our own. And that's why we end up disconnected, disjointed, and sometimes electrocuted. And let me continue. I hope I got that point across. It took him 7 years to build it, and it took King Solomon 13 years to build his palace until this whole palace was complete. It was called, he built the Lebanon House of Forests with four rows of cedar columns with hewn cedar beams above the columns. Its length was 100 cubits. His breadth 50 cubits, his height 30 cubits. It was paneled above with cedar, with planks that were above on the 45 columns, 15 in each row. There were three columns of window frames with three tiers of windows facing each other. All the doorways and doorposts had square frames with three tiers of windows facing each other. He made the porticoes of columns 50 cubits long and 30 cubits wide. The portico was in front of the columns. There were columns with a canopy in front of them. He made the throne porticoes where he was to pronounce judgment, the hall of judgment. It was paneled with cedar from floor to floor. The house that he used as a residence in the rear courtyard, back of the portico, was of the same construction. King Solomon also constructed a palace like that portico for the daughter of Pharaoh, whom he had married. All these buildings, from foundation to coping, and all the way out to the great courtyard, were of choice stone, hewn according to measure, smooth on all sides. The foundation were huge blocks of choice stone, stones of 10 cubits and stones of 8 cubits. And above were choice stones hewn according to measure in cedar wood. The large surrounding courtyard had three tiers of hewn stone and a row of cedar beams, the same as for the inner court of the house of the Elohim, for the portico of the house. King Solomon sent for King Hiram and brought him down from Tyre. He was the son, no, excuse me, Hiram was the son of a widow of the tribe of Naphtali, from one of our tribes. His father had been a Tyrian, a coppersmith. This fellow was endowed with skill and ability and talent for executing all work in bronze. He came to King Solomon and executed all his work. He cast two columns of bronze. One column was 18 cubits high and measured 12 cubits in circumference. And similarly, the other column, he made two capitals cast in bronze to be set upon the two columns, the height of each of the two capitals being 5 cubits. Also, nets of the mesh work with festoons of chain work for the capitals that were on top of the columns, 7 for each of the two capitals. He made the columns so that there were two rows of pomegranates encircled on top of one network to cover the capitals that were on top of the pomegranates. He did the same for the network on the second capital. The capitals upon the columns of the portico were of the lily design, 4 cubits high. So also the capitals upon the two columns ascended above and next to the bulge that were beside the network. There were 200 pomegranates in rows around the second capital. He set the columns at the portico of the great hall. He set upon one of the columns on the right and named it Jashin. And he set up the other column on the left and named it Boaz. Upon the top of the columns, there was the lily design. He loved lilies and pomegranates. Thus the work of the column was completed. He made the tanks of cast metal, 10 cubits from brim to brim, completely round. It was 5 cubits high. It measured 30 cubits in circumference. There were gourds below the brim, completely encircling it 10 to a cubic, encircling the tank, his water tank, the tanks. The gourds were in two rows, cast in one piece. It stood upon 12 oxen, 3 facing north, 3 facing west, 3 facing south, and 3 facing east, with the tank resting upon them. Their hunches were all turned inward. It was a hand breadth thick. Its brim was made like that of a cup, like the petals of a lily. Its capacity of water, to holding water, was 2,000 baths. He made the 10 lavers stands of bronze. The length of each laver stand was 4 cubits, and 4 cubits, and the width 4 cubits, and the height was 3 cubits. The structure of the lava stands was as follows. The stands, they had inserts, and the inserts within the frames, and the inserts were, and there were inserts within the frames, and on the inserts within the frames were lions, oxen, and cherubims. Above the frames was a stand, and both above and below the lions and the oxen were spirals of hammered metal. Each lover stand had 4 bronze wheels and 2 bronze axle trees. Its 4 legs had brackets. The brackets were under the lover. East was spirals beyond each. Its funnels within the crowns rose a cubit above it. These funnels were round in the fashion of a stand, a cubit and a half and diameter. On the faunus, too, there were carvings. The inserts were square, not round. And below the inserts were the four wheels. The axle trees of the wheel were fixed in the lava stand. The height of each wheel was a cubit and a half. The structure of the wheel was like the structure of a chariot's wheel. And its axle trees and their rims and their spokes and their hubs were all cast of metal. Four brackets ran to the four corners of each lava stand. The brackets were of a piece with the lava stand. At the top of the lava stand was a round band height a cubit high. Together with the top of the lava stand, its sides, its inserts were of one piece with it. And on its surface, and on its sides, and on its inserts, Hiram and carved cherubims, lions, and palms, as the clear space on each allowed, with spire roundabouts. It was after this manner that he made the 10 lava stands, all of them cast the lack of the same measure and same form. Then he made 10 bronze lavas, one lava on each of the 10 lava stands. Each lava measured 4 cubits, and each lava contained 40 baths of water it held. He disposed the lava stands at the right side of the house, 5 at the right side of the house and 5 at the left side. And a tank he placed on the right side of the house, in the southeast corner. Hiram also made the lavas, the scrapers, and the sprinkling bowls. So Hiram finished all the works that he had been doing for King Solomon on the house of Yah, the 2 columns, the 2 globes of the capital upon the columns, the 2 pieces of network, the covers, the 2 globes of the capitals upon the columns, the 400 pomegranates for the 2 pieces of network, 2 rows of pomegranates for each network to cover 2 globes of the capital upon the columns, the 10 stands and the 10 lavas upon the stands, 1 tank with 12 oxen underneath the tank, the pails, the scrapers, the sprinkling bowl, all those vessels in the house of the Elohim that Hiram made for King Solomon were of burnished bronze. The king had them cast in earthen molds in the plain of Jordan between Succoth and Zarethan. King Solomon left all the vessels unweighed because of their very great quantity. The weight of the bronze was not reckoned. There was not a reckoning on how much it weighed. And King Solomon made all the furnishings that were in the house of the Elohim, the altar of gold, the table for the showbread of display of gold, the lampstand, 5 on the right side and 5 on the left in front of the shrine of solid gold, the pedestals, the lamps, the tongs of gold, the basins, the snuffers, sprinkling bowls, ladles, and fire pans of solid gold, and the hinges, his sockets to the doors of the innermost chamber part of the house, the Holy of Holies, for the doors of the great hall of the house of gold. When all the work that King Solomon had done in the house of Yahweh was completed, King Solomon brought in the sacred donation of his father, King David, the silver, the gold, the vessels, and deposited them in the treasury of the house of the Elohim. All right, Cartrell, I suggest, as I said to the students, go online, take a gander at it, take a look at it, and you can have some idea how magnificent King Solomon's palace was and how beautiful the house that King Solomon had provided for the Elohim Yah, how gorgeous it was. Cartrell, my brother and friend, what say you? Cartrell, I think you got your mic back. Okay.
Our enemies are anxious to sack that temple. So that gold in there.
Man, what you said?
So
billions.
Not much of it was left.
Billions and trillions in gold, Cartrell. According to it would be trillions in gold. Okay.
But you notice he didn't overlay his house with gold.
No.
He just did the house, the cedars, and the stone. But as for the temple, he went above and beyond the call of duty.
Yeah.
And I'm sure the Most High was pleased because he put every effort, you know, into it. And those two pillars, Jachin and Boaz, they represent establishment and strength.
Right.
So Yah established his temple, and he establishes his people, and he strengthens our people. So that's what those two pillars were for, Boaz and Jachin.
Right. It was representative of that. So you always have that in your mind when you go to King Solomon's house for judgment.
King Solomon's house was a palace. We're talking about the temple.
Right. Okay. So this was in the temple.
Yes.
Okay. Well, you would always have that in your mind when you went to the temple.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So,
they
try to find King Solomon's mind. You see how rich he was in gold. They trying to figure out where he get all this gold.
Mm-hmm.
But they still looking for the minds of King Solomon because you can see he had plenty of gold to overlay the walls and the floor and various other items within the temple with gold. Amazing. It must have been spectacular.
Man, it took a whole lot of gold, Cartrell. Seemed like it was more gold than Fort Knox. Okay. I mean, to overlay it, the ceiling, the walls, the floors, the cherubims, the altar, the two, the showbread table. Come on, that country. More gold than Fort Knox. Okay.
And when you go to look at the picture of the temple, I thought they was exaggerating. Like they had that much gold? But when you read it, you see, yes, that much gold.
More gold than in Fort Knox, Cartrell.
Yeah, and the gold was in the Holy of Holies, in the Holy Chamber. So it wasn't just everywhere, but when you look at the Holy and the Holy of Holy Chambers, man, nothing but gold.
Yeah, but Cartrell, it wasn't just a little thin gold that you could just touch it and it paper thin, it'd break. I'm talking about some thick gold. I mean, dude, gorgeous.
The only ones you really saw it were the priests.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a public place that anybody just walk in and walk around and be in awe of. No, that's a place where only the priests dwelt. And maybe sometimes the king went up in there. But the common man wasn't allowed in that space.
Mm-mm. No, he certainly wasn't, Cartrell. And the king could only go so far up in there, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't go all the way up in there. I mean, he could only go so far up in that and to the inner place, not to the holy of holies, but in that place outside the holy of the holies, the king could only go so far. He could only go so far up in there. He couldn't go all the way up in there where the Levitical priest could walk around up in there and whatnot. He couldn't do it like that. He could only go so far, like in the hallway. He could go in the hallway. He could see out there. He said, "Hey man, they look nice in there." But they don't want up in there. But he couldn't go up in there and hang out like they did.
Well, but the bottom side reaches are the horns of the altar. Wherever the altar was, that's the farthest they could really reach. They never got into the holy chambers or the holy of holies. No way.
Couldn't go far. Everybody had his space. Everybody had his spot. Everybody knew what he's supposed to be doing. Everybody did his spot when they were on point. They didn't have no problem. Everybody knew their specifications and whatnot. And that's why when they didn't have no problem, everybody started trying to do things that they're supposed to be doing, you know, and whatnot. Then they started having problems. Okay?
So we got to give the brother Hiram props.
Yeah.
What was he called? Lily, pomegranate, ox, lion, cherubim. This brother, he was really skilled.
Yeah, he was skilled. And you would have to assume, Cartrell, that not only he was doing this himself, I would have to assume, and I could be wrong, and I would admit I'm wrong, But he had people under him that he was getting trained also. And they had become quite proficient. Because I don't believe Herod could have did that on his own. I think he may
a
have
lot
had
of work.
Yeah. I think he would have to
That's
have
what I was imagining. Like right. you yeah. said, he had a team that was doing it.
Right. And they were under his tutelage. And they became
he did that. Because it sounded like the way it reads, he was doing all the work.
Yeah, it did. Now, it could have went, I can't say either way, Cartrell. I can't say either way that he did it by himself or he had students under him working along with him. And I'm not going to say what I can't, I don't see. But then it's
speculating.
Yeah, I'm just speculating. So don't say it. Young Suf said that Harold had these. Some Young Suf is just speculating that he may have had people under his tutelage. Helping him and assisting him. That's all I can say because I can't tell no more because I wasn't there. Okay?
Well, he's similar to Bezalel, who did the same type of work for the tabernacle when they were building a tabernacle in the wilderness when they was with Moses.
Exactly.
So Bezalel, you know he had a crew with him that he was supervising and helped do the work. So
but you know what?
Hiram had a crew.
But Cartrell, here's the deal too. A lot of folks miss this. That Harold there, daddy was a Tyrian. But that had no bearing on who his daddy was. His mother was a Hebrew. But it had no bearing. I'm not gonna your dad a Tyrian, I won't do nothing with you. I mean, what they gotta do with it? His mother was a Hebrew, and his daddy had skills, so the king took advantage of it. He didn't sit on the corner, holler at him, cuss at him, fuss at him. He took advantage of his skills. And a lot of y'all missed that, didn't you? All right.
And our nation wasn't prejudiced. We
right.
married Egyptians. We married Ethiopians. We even married Canaanites, even though we wasn't supposed to.
Exactly.
We married Philistines.
Exactly.
So we wasn't prejudiced as a people prejudice is now.
No, it wasn't like that. It wasn't based upon... Our prejudice wasn't based upon a person's skin hue. It was based upon a person's belief, or should have been, because a lot of times they went out overboard and started just marrying, like Cartrell said, Canaanites and whatnot, and started taking up their gods and whatnot. You know, that wasn't good. But our wasn't based upon somebody's skin hue. Oh, you don't look like me. I ain't going to marry you, you know.
Oh, why would you marry a Philistine? Why are you messing with the Philistine, Samson, when we at war with them?
Right. See what I'm saying?
That don't make no sense. Yeah.
So we were like
David. He had a crew of Philistines.
Right.
Came over to our side. They made that oath. If you beat our champion, we'll serve you. If we beat your champion, you're going to serve us.
Right.
King David beat their champion, and some Philistines lived up to their word.
Right. And
Yeah.
I would say we didn't base a dealing with people based upon the person's skin. We didn't put our knees on neck and back because they skinny. Okay? We didn't drag them by their feet with ropes
not
on them because they skinny. We didn't do that. Okay?
You heard about the nooses at Amazon construction site?
Amazon
is building a factory in Connecticut.
Oh, isn't that?
And they hiring, construction workers from all over the country.
I ain't got no problem with it.
And at this facility, they say there's a lot of racism going on. They found 12 nooses or 11 nooses.
I can believe it, Cartrell. You and I worked in construction. My field in the Marine Corps when I first started was a combat engineer. That's only a glorified grunt with a rifle and a hammer. So I experienced it in the Marine Corps. I experienced it when I worked sometime in the construction field when I got out of it. When I got out of it, and I dealt with environmental cleanup where you have a tornado or hurricane and you had to shoot off to wherever that place was and you had to do work down there. And in Louisiana, Cartrell, my experience with Louisiana is I don't know how so-called brothers and sisters could stay there. That is one of the most racist places I've ever been in. I mean,
Mississippi, Tennessee. What you talking about?
In comparison, Katria, they're all bad. Yeah, they're all bad. Yeah, they're all bad. Don't get
burning. They never said Louisiana burning.
Yeah.
They be burning.
Well, Katria, and I had to admit, I'm not going to lie for them because they ain't no friend of mine. But I'm going to tell you, they're all bad. But it's just like this, Katria, just like a prison system. Yeah, you have all of this prison. But you have better prisons, you have worse of prisons. In Louisiana and Mississippi, them are worse of prisons. You know what I mean? They the parchment prisons, parchments, and the prison they got down in Louisiana. And so the way they treated Brother Ronald Green, I'm not surprised in the least bit. It's a harsher prison system now. And the way they treated that brother is indicative of that country. I mean, that's what that's fun to them. And they were laughing. They were laughing about it, cut. I beat the brakes off his ass. Yes, sirree, Bob. Oh, yeah. Let me get his blood off me. Drag him on over here. Come on, man. Is that the way to treat any kind of human being? Come on, now. But they do it.
Roll up on him in a pickup truck.
Yeah.
Dio Tarbat style.
Oh, that's what they do, brother. And they love it. That's fun to them. That's fun. That's what we like.
They have more concern with bald eagles and polar bears and brown bears and black bears than they do for black men.
Exactly. Yeah, they endangered species. And they try to make us endangered species.
When it's a species that's really in danger.
What did you say, Cottrell?
I said, who's the species that's really in danger?
We are.
No, you're going to be here forever, bro. That's what I promise.
Oh, they trying to make us.
Here forever. I don't know about them, but I know Yah said, Mosiah said, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is going to be here forever. Forever is forever. I don't care what you try to do.
You try as you may, but you ain't going to do it. And they try real hard at it, Cartrell. Believe you me.
Oh, yeah.
Fellow students.
It's on full tilt right now.
Oh, yeah, man. Wide open. Everywhere you look. Crazy Karens and so on and so forth. Calling folks, lying on people and whatnot. Oh, I seen the guy in the parking lot in the car. He had a gun. And I'm scared. I'm leaving the store. And I can tell you what his car look like. Go check him out. They do that now, Cartrell.
And they roll up on you with guns drawn.
Oh, yeah, meddling. Man, like you said, Cartier, coming from all ends and wide open. Well, Cartier and I, we're going to move right along. If Cartier is done with his commentary, I certainly am. And we're going to move on to our next segment of study in the book of Psalms 3rd. Psalms, King David wrote to the Most High. Check it out.
The Diary of King David.
The Diary of King David.
Imagine if your diary was open to the world, your diary, your personal life. And we're examining, you know, King David, pretty much his personal life.
Reminds me of ooh wee, yum soup.
Yeah. You and me too, bro. So the third book of Psalms written by our King David is a psalm in the portion in his life when he was running from Absalom. We just read about that, right? His son. Prince Absalom. Crown Prince Absalom. He got a beef with his pops because he felt his pops didn't bring justice for his sister. So he revolted against the king. So much so he put the king on a run. So in this proverb here, King David is on the run from his son, Absalom. He's a pretty bad man. So once again, we give thanks, praise, and honor to Yah, our creator, our power, our might, and to his king, King David, who left us with these powerful words that he put in a book of songs. He says, Yah, how they have increased who trouble me. Many are they who rise up against me. Many are those who say of me, there is no help for him in Elohim. So people think that the Most High has abandoned you when they just look at your physical outside appearance. So King David's on a run, and Absalom don't think that the Most High is still with him just because he's on the run. King David knows, though. But you, O Yah, are a shield for me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. So people glory in a lot of things, right? You the world heavyweight champion. Are you the greatest basketball team in the world? Are you the greatest football team? Are you the greatest singer? Are you the greatest actor? That's what people glory in. You know what King David gloried in? The Most High. That was his glory.
His closeness to the Most High, guys.
Yeah, that's how he got his glory. Yeah.
Yeah. As we all
the fact that he was in harmony and in tune with the Most High, that's where King David got his glory. He let you know, I cried to Yah with my voice. No silent prayer. He's going to say it out loud. Yah, where you at? Help me. I'm in trouble. Please deliver me from my enemy. Say it out loud. And he heard me from his holy hill. When you pray to Yah and you speak it out, you put them words in the ethos, the Most High will hear you if you're coming with a sincere heart like King David. And the fact that the Most High heard him, this is what happened. I lay down and slept. I awoke, for Yah sustained me. Now, if you was in fear, you'd be up all night, right? Stressed out, worrying about your enemies getting you. But he said, as soon as I lay down, I go to sleep, and then I wake up because I know that Yah is going to protect me, shield me, guard me. I ain't worried about my enemies. I will not be afraid of the 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me all around. I'm going to take a nap. I'm going to go to sleep and wake up like ain't nothing even there. Imagine that. Arise, O Yah. Save me, O my Elohim. That's all he got to ask Yah to do because he got that connect. For you have struck all my enemies on the cheekbone. You have broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongs to Yah. Your blessing is upon your people. So in other words, what works for King David, it works for our people too. So you could be like King David, make Yah your salvation, call upon him, and he will strike down the ungodly, people that are not connected with the Most High, who will try to do you harm. So we have to use this formula, follow the leader, and he's letting you know that it's for you too. Salvation belongs to Yah, your blessing is upon your people. As long as the people is walking correctly, we can call on the same Elohim that King David calls upon, but he has to be our glory. He has to be the one who lifts up our head when we have trouble. He has to be the one we cry to with our voices so that Yah hears us from his holy hill so we can lay down and sleep, even if we got thousands of people coming at us. We ain't worried about it. Are you worried about it? Not me. I got the Most High God.
Amen.
Praise Yah.
Sheila. Praise Yah. And it ain't just by conversation. By participation. He's participating in what his word said. He's saying, not only am I talking about it, I'm being about it. I'm living the life I'm talking about. Okay? See, a lot of y'all think this everything in life free. This is a king over the nation. He said, I got to put in work. Question is, are y'all any better than the king? And are you putting in any work? Are you simply laying on your laurels, just saying, I am simply because? No. No. You are simply because? No, you are simply because you do what you say you are. And more than lip service, it's actual service and acknowledge. Everything I am, everything I hope to be, everything that I hope for everything, in a day. Because my total reliance and I'm active in that. I'm an active participant in that. And my glory ain't in me. I can't do nothing. What can I do for me? All that I can do is say Black Lives Matter. I can march and protest. I can beg my enemies. But as he said, running away from Absalom, his young Prince Absalom, I may not do nothing for myself. I'm old right now.
And I really don't want to get up with the boy because he my boy. But I didn't have to get up with it. I didn't have to raise a hand against it. The Most High, whom I trust in, my total reliance in, who's my champion, came to my aid. I ain't even meant to lift my hand against my boy. And I'm an active participant in that. Why? Because I'm totally reliant. I'm in compliance by my attitude, by my words, by my deeds and whatnot. Question here, Cartrell, are brothers and sisters in compliance? Or they simply give lip service?
We've been taught to give lip service and pursue vain things, like King Solomon says.
Right.
But can we testify, like King David, that Yah directs and orders our steps, that in our times of trouble, when we cry out in prayer, Yah hears our prayer, and he comes and helps us out of the trouble that we're in? I could testify. I've been in trouble many a time, and I cried out to the Most High, and Yah delivered me.
You and me,
straight
too.
Up, I could be dead right
you
now.
You and me,
I could
both.
Be dead.
Man, I'm gonna tell you on a more easier fashion, Cartier, that I deal with every day. My back, and I'm sure Cartier feels the way. Our back staying chronic. It's ever doing. It's just like that said. Ain't no fun when the rabbit got the gun. When we were youngsters, we run here, run there, jump there, do karate stuff, football and whatnot. Now, we at the age, ain't no fun when the rabbit got the gun. And sometimes when me and Cartrell lay down, I suspect him on Cartrell too, sometimes that back be talking to you. And sometimes you say a quick prayer before you know it, it be morning time. That's as simple as I can put it. Sometimes when you make a request to Yah, and the pain ain't going away now, but it going away enough for you to get some rest. And sometimes you make a prayer or plead to Yah, it'd be morning time. You went to sleep and everything. And come
you'd
wake
be wondering,
up.
How
yeah.
am I going to sleep tonight with all this pain?
Right. but you go to sleep and you wake up with the same set of problems.
Oh, yeah.
So, but
you ain't felt nothing the whole night.
Exactly. And ain't felt nothing. And dreamed and everything. But you wake up in the morning with the same. So that's what Cartrell and I are getting at. That don't mean your problem going to go away. But you have some release, and you have some relief, and Yah gives you relief, okay? That don't mean everything going to go away, but Yah, you can testify to that. Mr. Cartrell, he and I, we testify on that every day as far as our back is concerned. But on a personal note for you, if you have that relationship with Yah, as Cartrell alluded to, you can make thanksgiving and praise. So, yeah, thanks, Yah, for doing this for me on this certain occasion. Thank you, Yah, for taking me through the pain that I had to deal with a certain matter. Thank you, Yah, for helping me make a good decision in that fashion, because I prayed to you. Now, thank you, Yah, for helping my children out. Thank you, Yah, for helping my mama, my brother, my friends, my neighbors. Thank you, Yah, for everything, because you have to have total reliance on me. Total reliance. You got to let it all, you just got to let loose. And as these folks said, let Yah. Let loose and let Yah and let you glorify in that. And so when you make good decisions and when you bend to Yah in prayer and you seek his counsel and decision proves out to be the right decision, it didn't come from you. It came from Yah. And when you say, hey, Yah, be with me this morning as I go out and bring him back home safely. That wasn't on you. Abby, I said it several weeks ago. And when she was going out, and she was in a car accident, and went for Yah, and she wouldn't be here today. Because she had no control of the matter. Her son, whom was driving, had no control of the matter. Yah had control over the matter. And you have to know this. You have to acknowledge this, as King Darwin did. You have to know what side your bread is buttered on, so to speak. And so, far as that is concerned, I like to give praises to Yah for every day. From the moment I get up to the moment I lie down at night, and in between, for all I am and all I hope to be, and for restoring my soul for his name's sake. And forgive me that relief every night to get me some rest. And for the food I eat, the air I breathe, the clothes I wear, the little bit of twos and fews I got, and the continuation in this study process that Cartrell and Aviar and you, the fellow students, do together. The continuum of these studies, which is imperative, which is pertinent, which is highly needed, because that's how you draw close to Yah. His words are a lamp to your feet. That's how you draw close to Yah. You don't just lay in the bed, I'm close to Yah. Well, yeah, I'm close to Yah. You ain't close to Yah just laying in the bed. You close to Yah by exercising his words, applying his word in your life, doing the specification and the codification. That's how you drawing close to Yah. See, some of y'all got the game twisted. You think just, I'm a Hebrew Israelite. I just lay in the bed. I'm close to Yah. Something's wrong with your thinking. You better get your mind right. You better learn what drawing close to Yah is. It's about compliance to his word. It's about compliance. And all praises to Yah. Cartrell, my brother.
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh.
I just want to take the time to give thanks to the Holy One of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, for everything he does for me in my life. How he sustains
Amen.
And maintains me and gives me food, shelter, and clothing.
Amen.
And how he has answered my prayers when I was in the times of my trouble. And he
Amen.
Commands us to call upon him in our troubles because he will deliver us out of all of our troubles. And then he says, try him, test him, improve him. And how do you test him, try him, improve him unless you call upon him in your times of trouble? And when he delivers you out of your troubles, you have to acknowledge that he did it. So I give thanks to Yah for delivering me out of all of my troubles over a lifetime. And I pray that he allows us to be continually his servants, to get his word out to his other servants so we can return in good favor. And Yah will get his glory among the nations and amongst his people again.
Amen.
It's all about Yah. No doubt.
Amen. No doubt, Cartrell. No doubt. You certainly said a mouthful on that, Cartrell. I concur with you, Sheila. Amen. And then some.
Praise Yah.
Praise Yah. Well, if anybody, you know, this family night, y'all, now Cartrell and I, we ain't just saying this to make ourselves feel good. We telling our praise and thanksgiving to Yah because you should be doing that. You should make the acknowledgement that what Yah have done for you and give thanksgiving and praises to her holy name. And give him a blessing too. You can bless Yah. So I'd like to bless you, Yah, in your holy name. Give him some blessings. He needs some blessings. He needs some love too. Okay?
Me too. I bless you, Yah. Blessed be the name of the Holy One in Israel.
Yeah, bless Yah in his holy name. I have to concur. He need love, too. Yah need love, too. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And, well, Cartrell.
That's what he's looking for. The love.
Exactly.
Of his
yeah. He need love, too. We're going to give it to him. All praise and bless his holy name. And praise his holy name, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. Well,
I know the family out there.
Well, you know. Most of our family are listening in, Cartrell. They're studying in through the internet.
Okay.
They just like to listen in and study, most of them. A lot of them, because, you know, this is an international talk show. We got a lot of international students. They like to study internationally. But sometimes they come on, sometimes they don't. But as long as they study and apply, that's all that matters to me, Cartrell. You understand what I'm saying, my brother? That all that matters to me. Because we do a decent job, I like to believe, Cartrell, putting y'all's studies out there, okay? All right, well, look here, Cartrell. I think Aviar has some thanksgiving and praise and blessing for y'all. I'm going to bring it right on. Aviar,
all right.
Most High bless you. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Aviar, may Most High bless you.
May the Most High bless you, Brother Cartrell, Brother Yah Sufari. You know I couldn't let you go without having my praise put in there. I praise Yah all day long and every single day that he gives me breath and thank him for all he's given me, my children, my friends, my family, and you brothers to bring me along with you in this study. You know, I just wanted to touch on that verse 5 real quick.
Okay.
It said, lay me down. It took me back to when I was a child and my mother and my grandmother, rather, would say, if you're going to pray, baby, don't worry. Now, if you're going to worry, there's no need for you to pray, baby. And so I see exactly what she said. Huh?
She had a point, Abby. She had a point.
Yes. That's what I'm saying, because I see like she was telling me at that young age, you have to put your trust in y'all. You just can't just pray and expect, you know, like you said, everything going to go away or something like that. But, you know, you trust in him enough where you can lay your body down and rest without any fear or anything. So, like I said, there's so much I get out of this study that I just simply, I even hate when Saturdays and Sundays come. You know, because if it was left up to me, you'd be doing it 7 days a week.
Hey, you're going to give me a cocktail of break now, ain't you? We old, we elders. We elders. We appreciate it, but let me in cocktail. You know, you got to put a mule in the barn sometimes, Abby.
Yeah, you know, y'all get y'all's break. But I'm just so glad that, you know, you're on, and I'm right along with your brothers, and I thank you so much.
We're happy to have y'all.
Let you go.
Sheila. And you as well, sir.
And you was talking about give y'all his blessings. That's another thing. I do that every day, and I wasn't thinking about it until you said it. You know, when you brought it up, I said, wow, I do that every day. Because every day I said, thank you, y'all. God, you know, bless you, y'all, for you the mighty one, y'all. I be doing that every day. For the Lord, so, but when you said it, it hit me. You said, did you realize you was doing that? It just come naturally to me now to do it.
That's
so
why
I pray all day long.
And that's why I suspect, after y'all, you don't want for nothing. Okay?
No, I don't. If I do, I go straight to y'all. I sure don't go to no churches and to JC no more.
Hey, all praises. Aviyah, Contrell, did you get that picture I sent to you of Gregory schooling his little brother? Did you send it? You get that picture?
Oh, you forgot the post.
Yeah, I sent it. Check your phone, man. I sent it to you, Gregory. Yeah, Gregory is schooling his little brother.
No, that's
schooling his little brother.
Oh,
that's
his cousin. Oh, okay. Yeah, because I hear what I
said. There ain't nothing but going on 5 months before.
Nah, you know, I ain't had no baby so long. I thought they'd grow a little faster than that.
They grow fast these days, but not that fast.
Because I looked at them, I said, boy, that little baby grow.
They look like twins.
Like I said, I don't know if you realize it, but you didn't put up that post tonight.
I didn't, man. You know, Abby, I might think of broke sometimes.
I told her. She said she figured that anyway.
What's this?
She didn't think your finger was broken, but she just figured you was busy.
Hey, you tell Bree, and I hope she listened to me, Bree, snitches get stitches.
Not in our nation, brother. Maybe in America.
All right, you get a pass now, Bree. You get a pass. Okay, I can't stitch
that's
you up. Hey, Greg, up with you? Okay, what's up, Greg? I know you out there. Greg, I know you out there running around. Contrell and I, we would like to say, hello, how you doing? You got your flag? Shalom. Bless
you. Shalom, Gregory. We love you, man.
We love you, brother.
Okay, and you listen to Momo, and you got problems, you know. We got eyes on you, young fella. Okay, all right.
Your brothers, Brother Smooth and Brother Cartel. Can I get some of that love too?
Oh yeah, you know we love you, sir.
Yeah, we love, man. Come on.
Right,
you know
I love you, brother.
You know that's for that question, Abby. I'll stop it. Why you keep here, Cartrell? You know, you've been with us forever and a day since 2013. Now, why'd you bother folks, okay? And we didn't love you, you wouldn't be here.
It sounds so good to hear from the brothers, not like these brothers out here that's saying it for the wrong reason.
Abby,
right.
If Cartrell and I didn't love you, you the type of woman, you wouldn't be here, okay? You know we love all our sisters. We love you.
Not only do we love you, sis, we need you.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, we all need each other. That's for sure.
You see, and I'm going to say like Cartrell said, you see, you the count is balanced to Cartrell's singing, okay?
Oh,
I know I'm good.
But
he always trying to get in trouble, ain't he?
Yeah. Oh, my.
That's the kind of trouble the Most High can't get him out of.
He has to better start praying now before he go get off.
You wrong with that.
Bless weekend too, and keep on doing what you do. And
thanks a lot. May the Most High bless you. Praise you. Praise his
bless
name. God bless you and your family.
Hello.
Cartrell, do you have any closing remarks before we get out of here?
That's the love that the Most High got for us. Got to share with each other and back to him. And we know that love makes the world go round. And we got to get that love Jones back up. I ain't talking about the sexual kind. I'm talking about the national kind, the communal exactly. kind, the family kind. You know, we got to get that love back.
Exactly.
So my prayer is that the Most High help us in that area because we in trouble there.
A real big trouble,
parents don't show enough love to their children. People don't show enough love to their spouses. We don't show enough love to each other, and we definitely don't show enough love to the Most High. So my prayer is that we feel that love again.
Exactly, Katja, and I concur with you. Well, family, it's been a nice reunion. It's been a nice week. May the Most High bless you, and may you bless him. May he direct and order your step, and may you be in total compliance and draw near to him, and which is total compliance. Be in compliance. And believe you me, if you're missing out, it's perhaps because you're not in compliance. May the Most High bless you. Direct you and order your steps. Stop leaning to your own understanding. It is not cute. It is not working for you. It is working entirely against you. Draw near by virtue of his word. And be in compliance by virtue of his word. And get you a new heart and spirit. It will help facilitate that closeness. One that loves the Most High with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Your brothers and sisters as yourself, it should be. And dealing with strangers, different nations, and thirsting continually, as Sister Abigail said, for the word of Yah, the light unto your feet. Thank you, Cartrell. Thank you, fellow students. We love you. And good night.
The next time we see each other, maybe years and years from now. Family reunion, got to have a family reunion. Family reunion, it's so nice to come together, to get together. I wish Grandma could see the whole family. And a warm and tender embrace. And if Grandpa was here, I know he'd be smiling from ear to ear to see what he has done. All the offspring from his daughters and sons, a family reunion.
Divine law. That is together, no matter what color, race, creed, cause that's all in the head, whether you want to believe it or not, cause you'll bleed.